1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you came this morning without a Bible, raise your hand good and high. One of the gentlemen will hand one to you so you can follow along with us. Again, it's 1 Peter chapter 5. Will be our text. We'll make our way to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Matthew 17, and John chapter 14, as the Lord leads. We will also this morning participate in communion together, remembering what the Lord has done for us. Can you believe it's already May? May is here already. This year is going by quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're in the final chapter of Peter's first letter. And he has some encouraging words for the leadership and for the church in his day and in our day as well. Bible's open. Let's ask now that God would open our hearts to receive the scriptures and the word that he has for us. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you have given us our Bibles. And Lord, that you've given us also a heart to open them, to read them, and then more importantly, to live them. And so God, I pray that as we read the examples of godly men and women in your word, Lord, that we would truly have a desire to live that same way, to live lives that honor you, to live lives that are in line with you. So people will know that we belong to you and they would ask us why we do the things that we do, why we think the way we think, why that we respond the way we respond. Lord, we pray it's the power of the Holy Spirit that lets us be the people that you want us to be. So we're asking, as our scriptures are open, that you would show us things, God. Show us truth. And then let us apply that truth to each and every life. We want you to get the glory. We want you to get the honor. And it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Most commentators believe that Peter didn't really think he was ever going to have a Peter number two. He wraps up this first letter of 1 Peter in such a way, it's almost like those last exhortations, those last encouragements for the body of Christ to just stay steadfast to the Lord. And so we're going to see in this last chapter, chapter 5, Peter just really directing the leadership in the church, those that are in the church that are kind of taking care of the ministry, those that are having eyes and a heart and a spirit to see the needs and to meet those needs. I do believe it is certainly a gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to discern people's countenance and people's situations and circumstances in the church and be able to thwart the plans of the enemy by building division in the body. And I think it's a gift that we must have that is certainly given by the Holy Spirit. And there are people in our ministry, thankfully, that have that heart to help the ministry, to help the church not only grow in numbers, but grow in strength, grow in maturity. And Peter finds that to be so very important as he, again, in the last particular chapter, he's exhorting the elders that are in the church. He's exhorting those elders to live their lives accordingly and to be mindful of the things that are going on in the church. God forbid us, forgive us, if we as Christians have these blinders on where we're just only focused on our own lives. God forgive us that we're more concerned about our own affairs and our own desires and our own prayers and our own without looking around and seeing the needs that are in the church. Brothers and sisters, I need you in my life. And I would hope you need me in your life to minister to you, to encourage you in your times of need, to correct you in your times of disobedience. We need that in the church today, just like Peter needed it in his church in those days. Leadership is a unique office in the body of Christ. It's a balancing act, I find. For on the one hand, it is vital that leaders lead believers in the ways of God, to instruct them in the ways of righteousness, to help them move in a way that they grow in the Lord. But at the same way, on the other hand, we also must help them to depend upon the Lord and not us. Leaders are imperfect. I don't know if you knew this, but we're willing to lead because we believe God has gifted us in that way. So the balancing act, helping people move along in the Lord, but at the same time handing them over to the Lord so that they can depend upon the Lord, because the Lord is always there. Leaders cannot always be there. And so there we must equip the saints. It's a balancing act of leadership. We often hear of two kind of different camps when it comes to leaders. Either they are considered micromanagers. In other words, they have to have their hands in every single area of the ministry, having total control over the areas of ministry and over the control of people's lives that are in the ministry in such a way that those that are serving in the ministry don't even feel like they have a say. Micromanagers. And then there's the macromanagers. Those that when they have, these have little involvement in all the little details. They trust the details to others as they try to figure it out. And both of these extremes can be extreme. Both of these can be dangerous, and there must be a balance again between the two. A willingness to be responsible, but a willingness to let others be moved by God. Leadership is important in the church, in every church, in the church of Jesus Christ, for sure. Today we will discuss the importance of leadership in this church, in Peter's church, and in all churches, as God wills. And notice in the last verse, I just want you to back up for a minute. In the last verse of chapter 4, Peter says this in verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. The last thing that Peter says in chapter 4 is, hey, guys, commit your souls to the Lord because you are going to suffer. Commit your will to God's will. You're going to go through difficult times. And as Peter says that, I believe he believes not only will the church suffer and that they need to depend upon God, but they're going to need godly people in their lives to help them along the way. Leadership. Now, I pray that no one in this room is kind of checked out because, well, I'm not a leader. No, everyone is a leader. We as Christians should be leaders. As people that have the Holy Spirit in our lives should be able to lead others, listen, to the Lord. You know, the plan of salvation, the place where you gave your life to Jesus Christ, where you came to that understanding, so I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, I'm going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone led you there. And now we as Christians have an opportunity to lead others. And this can be very convicting in our lives. Lord, am I leading others to Christ? Does my lifestyle draw people to the Lord? Are people in my life looking at my life and saying, I want to follow that person? The biggest characteristic of a leader is the one that people follow. You're a leader if people follow you. And some people in this room are naturally gifted leaders. People follow you and you don't probably even know why. Probably scratching your head, why are people following me? You may have the gift of leadership. As Christians, we must lead, my friends. Peter knew believers were going to suffer, and he knew the important thing was that the leaders were there with them. Now, when it comes to leadership, it's really tough in the church. It's one thing in a business. The boss is the boss, right? But in a church filled with Christians, we're all on the same playing field. We're all on the same level. I'm a Christian just like you're a Christian. I'm a Christian before I'm a pastor. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ before anything else in my life. It just so happens that God has placed me in the position of a leader. And I love to lead people. I love to guide people in the ways of the Lord. I love to minister to people and let their eyes be open to the truth of God's scriptures. Because there's so much, I don't even want to say deception, but there's so much false teaching out there that when it comes to the simplicity of the Bible and the simple teachings of the Word, when you share those simple truths with people, it's like liberation to them. Wow, that's what that scripture meant? I never knew. And so we must lead. And today's message I want to look at, we're going to look at the first four verses, actually, in chapter 5. But leaders that lovingly lead have three characteristics that are absolutely vital to successful leadership. Three things we're going to look at this morning. Read with me in chapter 5, verse 1. Peter says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. nor is being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Give me your attention. Peter starts out in this last chapter, he starts out by speaking to the leaders. And if you look at verse 5, it says, "And you younger people." There's a contrast here. Peter's talking to old dudes and young dudes. That's what elder means. It means the old guys. Sorry, there's some of us in here, isn't there? There's some of us old guys. Now, it doesn't have a lot to do with age, really. It has a lot to do with your experience with the Lord, your walk with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord. Have you been walking with the Lord a bunch of years? Have you been walking with God in such a way that you've learned a few things, that you've experienced a few things, that you've even figured out God is faithful to you? See, those are the people that Peter is talking to right now. He says, "And the elders who are among you, I exhort." I exhort. The word exhort means to strongly encourage and to urge. It is a vital part for a leader to urge others, to encourage others, to exhort others in the Lord. How important it is for us to be strongly encouraged in the ways of God, that we would live our lives in such a way that brings God glory, that we would live our lives in such a way that helps others grow in the Lord, and that we would live our lives in such a way that we are examples to others. That's what Peter is talking about. He's saying, elders, leaders in the church, I'm going to exhort you to do something. The first thing I see that he says, and again, it's in this first verse, he basically is saying, leaders that lovingly lead have a relationship with the Lord. It seems very simple, doesn't it? It seems very trivial that we have a relationship with the Lord. But do you know how important that is? Do you know how vital it is that we can actually, as human beings, have a relationship with the Creator of the world? Have you ever thought about it like that? God. How big is your God? How huge is the Lord God, the one true God? And you can have a relationship with Him. And how vital that relationship is. I want you to, in some senses, think about your relationships with each other. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your children, your friends, your family. The relationship that you have to human people is one that is involved. It's one that you spend time with. Your closest relationships in your life are those that you spend a lot of time with. Wouldn't you agree? Now, there are going to be those people in your life that you walked with the Lord. I can remember friends of mine that when I got saved at Calvary Chapel, Fort Lauderdale, back in the early 90s, some friendships that I still have today. Now, we don't live near each other. We're not close. But it's that relationship and that bond in Jesus Christ that we can pick up the phone today and be best buds. Those are true relationships that go beyond the physical, that go beyond the natural. It's a spiritual relationship. And I'm telling you guys, as leaders, as Christians, our relationship to the Lord is vital. And I just can't stress the importance of this enough. When our relationship with the Lord is hindered, we're in trouble. When our relationship with the Lord does not feel close and knit together and you feel right before God, then there's a separation, isn't there? And maybe even some of you in here, you feel that separation between you and your relationship to God. And someone very wise once told me, if you feel distance from God, guess who moved? God does not move away from you. You move away from the Lord. As leaders, as Christians, our relationship to God is one that every single morning it can be renewed, it can be refreshed, it can be brought to that intimate and closeness with God. Those of us in the church or otherwise that find ourselves overwhelmed in sin is because our relationship with the Lord has been hindered. How many do we know who have drifted from the faith? How many do we know that have abandoned their call in life? Why? Because their relationship with the Lord was jeopardized. Their relationship with God was hindered. He's saying, listen, you elders, you old guys, you older people in the church, make sure you have a relationship with God. See, it says, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Peter himself saw the sufferings of Christ. Peter himself witnessed Jesus Christ on the cross. Peter himself denied the Lord 3 times. He knew the sufferings of Christ. He had that relationship with Jesus, but he also reminds them that I am also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. The glory that shall be revealed. Peter experienced something unique in his relationship with God. He had a relationship with the living Christ. He witnessed his death, but he also witnessed his glory, did he not? He witnessed his glory. Where did Peter witness the glory of God? Mount of Transfiguration. Let's turn there, shall we? It's in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 17, first verse. Bible says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And when the disciples heard it, the 3 of them, Peter, James, and John, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Peter had the opportunity to witness the glory of God. He saw Jesus, Moses and Elijah, in the glory, in this enlightened state, in a way that we will be when we get into heaven. Peter's eyes beheld this, but notice what they did when they heard the voice from heaven. They got on their knees. They got on their knees before the Lord. They were certainly fearful, but leaders must have this reverence for God in such a way that we find ourselves on our knees as well, that we find ourselves on our knees in prayer, seeking the Lord, seeking his glory, seeking his honor, seeking his will, looking for his truth. I ask you, do you want to be a leader in the church? Do you want to be a leader in this world? Spend time with Jesus. Spend time seeking his glory. Let his glory shine on you. I believe it was the glory that shone upon Peter that enabled Peter to write the letter that he's writing, the experiences that he's had, even with the denials. There's people in here that have denied the Lord. There's people in here that have made mistakes before God. God is bigger than those mistakes, I'm telling you today. The same Peter who denied the Lord was the same Peter that jumped out of the boat and walked on water. We can never, ever forget this. Yes, you may have mistakes in your life, but listen, if we're in the will of God, if we have a close relationship with God, nothing's impossible for us to do. I don't know about you. I want to do the impossible for God. I want to do the walking on water. I want to be the one that beholds God's glory. And the only way I'm going to be able to behold his glory is if I have a close relationship with him. Once I start to think my relationship with God is taken care of and I don't need to work on it anymore, I'm in trouble. I'm going to become cold. I'm going to become calloused. I'm going to become fleshly because my relationship to God is not strong. So I encourage you, spend time with the Lord. How many of us wake up late, rush to the office, rush to school, rush to all the plan, all the things that we need to get done in a day, and then at the end of the day go, oh, I have not even spent a minute with God yet. Let me encourage you in this. Spend time with the Lord all the time. There's a devotion that I used to read when I was a young Christian. 15 minutes alone with God. You know, I used to read this every morning. I did my 15 minutes alone with God. I learned to not like the name of that devotion. If I'm only giving God 15 minutes in my day, I'm seriously in a deficit in the spiritual strength. I would say 15 minutes in the morning with God would be better. And then every moment of all your day, thinking about God. How many of us drive into the office thinking about all the things that we need to do? Forget that. Think about the Lord who will help you get all those things done at work. Spend time with the Lord throughout your day. As you're walking from your desk, maybe to the restroom, just talk to God. Lord, what's going on today? What do you want to do today? That is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That every moment, people talk about, I don't pray as much. Just walk and pray. Prayer is talking to God. Just talk to Him. Even in your heart, even in your mind. I think if you were walking to the restroom at work and people saw you talking a prayer out loud, they'd think you were weird. But who cares? Talk to the Lord. Peter, James, and John, they beheld His glory. They saw it in the flesh. What a great opportunity. We get to see His glory today if we use our spiritual eyes. We see the work of God in our lives, in the lives of others. We behold His glory. Flip over to we were supposed to go here, 1 Timothy chapter 3, before we go back to Peter. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Speaking about leaders, as Peter is exhorting the elders, the leaders, the older people there, Paul talks to Timothy, young Timothy, and he describes to him in chapter 3 the importance of leadership in the church. And I just think it's so important that we know what these things are and know what these qualifications are in the body of Christ for leadership. Verse 1, chapter 3, 1 Timothy says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop. The word bishop, the word elder, and the word pastor in the Bible are all interchangeable words. They all mean the same thing. Position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? He's not a novice. He's not a new believer. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. It would do us well as Christians to meditate on these things. The next section goes into deacons, those who serve in the ministry, doing the work of the ministry, similar qualifications. And when you're asking, God, am I a leader? Are you calling me to lead people? Am I going to lead effectively? How should I lead? Here we go. This is how we lead. We're temperate. We're sober-minded. We're of good behavior, hospitable, teaching, instructing. This is what pastors, elders, overseers must do. It's also what mature Christians must do, those that have walked with the Lord. It breaks this pastor's heart when I talk to people that have believed their entire life but don't even know what the Word of God wants them to do. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They believe they're saved. But they haven't lived out one day of their salvation living in such a way that is biblical. We have an opportunity, guys, to live biblical lives, to communicate biblical truths to people. It's really hard to convince somebody they need to have a relationship with the Lord if you don't have a relationship with the Lord. And that's what Peter is saying. Have a relationship with God. Turn back to me to 1 Peter. You know what's interesting about Peter as well, when he identifies himself as a fellow elder? You know, Peter doesn't go, "Hey, I'm Pete. You know, Jesus loved me. He took me everywhere he wanted, everywhere he went, he took me." As I've said with you before, I think he kept Peter close because he knew Peter could get himself in trouble. But Peter is a humble man, and leaders are humble. Leaders realize that our call is from God, not of ourselves. And Peter was a humble man. As leaders, Jesus, as I said, should bring us to our knees. He should bring us to a place of worship. He should bring us to a place of humility. And he should bring us to a place of respect for the Lord. God is God. We're not. We're not. Have a relationship with him. Do not hinder your relationship with God just because you're a leader. I talk with other pastors all the time. And many pastors think just because we prepare studies each week that that's our devotion. It's not. I prepare studies for Sunday so I can teach you and equip you. Every single morning I wake up, I need to read my devotion. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray to my God. I need to hear from the Lord. It's no different for you. Hear from the Lord. Increase your relationship. If you are not consistently spending time with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord is hindered. I encourage you not to find time, to take time. Put something else aside. We're all busy. And we all could say, "I don't know where I would fit it in." Listen, you need to fit it in. That's the most important, the most vital thing in your life is your relationship with God. The second thing, not only do leaders that lovingly lead have a relationship with the Lord, leaders that lovingly lead have a responsibility to the saints. Have a responsibility to the saints. Look at verse 2 again, 2 and 3. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Taking care of the saints, being mindful of the people around us. Shepherding the flock of God means taking care of followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, some people might be insulted that we're called sheep. But sheep need to be led. Sheep need to be guided and directed and taken to pastures to be fed. And they need to be protected. A good shepherd goes before the sheep, makes sure everything's safe, then brings the sheep. As elders, Peter is saying, guys, you need to take care of the sheep. You need to take care of the body of Christ. You need to make sure that they're protected. You need to make sure that there's no wolves causing harm within the fold. Be a good shepherd. But notice what Peter says. They're the flock of God. I find great liberation in understanding that you don't belong to me, you belong to the Lord. You're God's sheep, not my sheep. I'm called to certainly minister to you and protect you, but he's the good shepherd. He is the sheep. You are the sheep of God. You belong to him. And I think leaders need to realize that. People don't belong to us. Yes, it's great that you come to this church. And yes, I'm glad that you come here and you worship here and you grow here. But you belong to the Lord, and your instructions come from him and him alone. How are you to shepherd? I love that Peter explains it. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Serving. Leaders serve. Leaders don't, you know, just give out instructions. They serve. They serve the sheep. They serve the body. When you serve others, you must serve them from the right heart, from the heart that is willing to help them be a better Christian. You know what? I want other people to become pastors. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to start your own ministry. I want you to have your own church so you can see what I go through. No, I'm just kidding. So that the message of Jesus Christ can go out. You know, I'm not here to hold you back. I want to lift you up. I want you to become greater. I want you to become better. That's what we do. We serve each other. There's going to be a verse overhead, but the verse just before it. Put up 1 Kings 12:7, please. King Rehoboam consulted the elders of his day, and he said to them, that these were the elders that served his father Solomon, and he asked them, how do you advise me to answer these people? He was getting instructions from the elders of the church, and this is, look at verse 7, this is how they responded. And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to those people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. I love this verse. It's such the heart of God. Leaders are lower. Leaders are the ones that are to serve. I'm not here to say, you do children's ministry, you do men's ministry, you do ladies' ministry, you do this ministry. No, I'm here to do it with you. Thankfully, there are people gifted in certain ministries that I have no gifts in. But I'm here to serve you. I'm here to come alongside you, encourage you. I love this verse. Serve them. Answer them. Speak good words to them. How many of us have been under bosses that never said a nice word to us ever? It's like, whoa. And this is what I believe Peter is dealing with. He is speaking to the church to be good leaders because I am confident that they were under bad leadership in the days that Peter lived. They were under bad leadership and they were trying to deal with that. Being under bad leadership is not a great place to be. Not only are we to serve, he says there, be serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. A very humbling thing about leadership is people are watching your life. People look to you as an example. Leaders lead by example. Christ led by example. We live our lives according to what Jesus lived his life, or at least we desire that. The good thing about Jesus is he was a perfect leader. Everyone beyond that is imperfect. So we're to lead from a place of heart. We're to lead and serve. We're to be examples to them. It is a very humbling thing when people are always looking at you to see how you live and to respond the way you respond. It's a great responsibility to make sure our lives are in order. That's why I know every single day of my life, I'm before the Lord and say, Lord, don't make me mess up so that other people scatter. Don't let me mess up so other people see my mistakes. Hey, I know I'm not perfect. I hope you don't think I'm perfect. As I am not. But my heart is for the Lord. My desire is to please him. And I pray that you have that same example. But he also says a bunch of things not to do. Not by compulsion, not for dishonest gain, and not as lords over them. No one should be forced to lead. God forbid I ever make you serve in children's ministry. God forbid it. I had one girl in our ministry wanted to serve in the church. She goes, but I know you're going to put me in children's ministry to start. I go, do you like children's ministry? Oh, no, I'm scared. Then that's not where you're going. You're not forced to. When we put overheads, hey, there's needs in the children's ministry, or there's needs in the ministry to help set up, it's not because we want to force people to serve. It's because there's a need and there's an opportunity. Here's the thing about serving. It's an opportunity to serve God. You're not serving us. You're not serving. You're serving the church. You're serving the sheep, and you're serving the Lord ultimately. It's a great responsibility. It's a great ability that God gives to us. And I try to encourage the people who serve here faithfully, week after week, morning after morning, to do it with a good heart. Please do me this favor. If you serve in this ministry and you're getting tired, take a break, because tired servants, hear my heart, are not super effective servants. I had one guy say to me one time, every time I come to this church, I'm angry. And he was an elder in our church. I said, you're angry. You need to take a break. We can't have leadership angry. We can't have leadership have hard feelings towards the body. We need to have good, strong leaders that love people, that love the Lord, and that love the God's word, and to encourage them. So if you're in a place, everybody, I don't believe servants need to take a break unless they're not serving in the area that they're supposed to be serving in. I feel like where God guides, he provides. I feel like where he puts you, he'll equip you to do it. It's only, I think, we get tired when we start doing things outside of what God's called us to do. It's called burnout. You're in the wrong place. You have a heart for the Lord, you want to serve the Lord, but you're not in the right place. We've got to get you in the right place. Where is that? Not by compulsion. No one should force you. Eagerly, willingly, it says. Not for dishonest gain. God forbid anybody we pay on staff does it because of the paycheck. God forbid we hire anybody that is going to do it just because, hey, I'm going to get paid. That's how I'll do it. Yeah, as long as you pay me. No. How about you do it because you love the Lord and we'll bless you with a paycheck? And I don't believe in ministries that don't pay their people well. I just don't believe in that. I don't know how anybody could serve the Lord with the fear of their rent not getting paid, their electric bill not getting paid. And I just don't see, it's like, a worker's worthy of his wages. And God's a God who blesses people. I think we should care for people. So not for dishonest gain. And then lastly, nor is being lords over those entrusted to you. Again, you all belong to God. It's not us to dictate. We're not here to point fingers. We're not here to tell people what to do. We're here to encourage people. You know, I think it's in Peter 2. I might be wrong. But Peter says, fan the flame that's inside you. I'm here to fan the flame. I'm here to encourage you to continue in what God's called you to do. Not lord over you. Not like, I'm the pastor. You do what I tell you. God forbid those words ever come out of my mouth. Or anybody's mouth, for that matter. Finally, leaders that lovingly lead have a relationship with the Lord, have a responsibility to the saints. And finally, leaders that lovingly lead have a requirement to please God. Have a quiet requirement to please God. Look at the fourth verse. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Where does the crown come from? The crown comes from heaven. God gives the crown. And in this last verse here of our time here this morning, I just love the way Peter brings us back to that place of realizing Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. That's the hope we have as Christians. That Jesus isn't up in heaven going, yeah, I'm just tired. I don't feel like going back to get him yet. No. He's taking care of things in heaven. He's interceding on our behalf. And he's coming back for us. And that must be stamped on the forehead of a leader. So that we, again, serve people and be those examples to people effectively. We're here to please the Lord. The return of Jesus Christ brings hope to the heart of every believer, or it should. I say this, if the return of Jesus Christ does not get you excited, number one, what would? What else could give you hope? Has anybody seen God's Not Dead? Has anybody seen that? There's a scene in there with is it the Newsboys? Is that the band, the Newsboys? Did I say that right? There's a point in there where the reporter comes in and she's kind of being critical of their Christian thing. Oh, you're doing a Christian thing. And she actually says, well, and you have hope in Jesus? Well, yeah, we have hope in Jesus. Yeah, we have hope. Where do you get your hope? I thought it was a great line. Where would you get your hope? If it's not in Jesus Christ, then the return of Jesus Christ. Any hope you're going to get in this world is going to be a temporary hope. It's only going to be for a season. We all have experienced that. But the return of Jesus Christ, and Peter brings us back to that. When the good shepherd appears, means he's coming. Peter lived his life thinking Jesus Christ would come back at any moment. And I believe if we are good leaders and we are constantly thinking Jesus could come back today, I better do the best I can. I better do the best I can. That we'll never rest upon our laurels. That we'll never rest upon experiences that we had years ago with the Lord, but looking for new experiences today. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit and do something for us and come back seeing us busy doing your work. Please, Lord. We talked about this on Wednesday night in our Bible study in John chapter Turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus, in chapter 13, at the end of chapter 13, he basically tells the disciples, hey, I'm getting ready to leave now. I'm going to depart. You're not able to go with me just yet, but I'm going to be leaving you. And where I'm going, you can't follow me, but you will later. You'll seek me, but you won't find me. And he knows that there's a little bit of discontent in their hearts. And in verse 1 of chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. And we talked about on Wednesday night how important it is that our hearts always be encouraged in the Lord. That when our hearts are troubled, that means there's something going on there that God is trying to reveal to us. And Jesus is realizing, these guys, their hearts are troubled. What do you mean you're leaving us? What do you mean you're leaving us? And we talked about how important it was for the disciples to be with Jesus and be around Jesus and see what he was doing. And now he's saying, I'm out of here. Think about the most important person in your life. And think how you would feel if they said tomorrow they're leaving. I mean, and this is the Lord that's saying, I'm leaving. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believed in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So Jesus just turns and says, listen, I'm leaving you right now, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. How many people in here realize that Jesus is preparing a place for us right now? He's at work at that. He's there. He's not slumbering. He's not just kicking back, you know, at the right hand of God and saying, yeah, I'm taking a break. He's working, and he's preparing that place, and then he's going to come back and get us. And Jesus knew that the disciples were heartbroken that he was leaving, but he was reminding them, I'm coming back, guys. As leaders, as Christians, we must realize Jesus is coming back. And we want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to see him come back while we're doing the works of God. And everything that we do as Christians should be for the glory of God and for the pleasure of God. How important that is for leadership. That the things that we do because we want to honor God. People's feelings will get hurt by our leadership. People will feel slighted because of our leadership and our choices. That is just part of life. But God forbid that we would be people pleasers to the sacrifice of God pleasers. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but I am not sorry if it doesn't hurt the feelings of God. If I know I'm doing what God calls me to do, I will continue to do that. And I cannot stop doing that. And it must be the same way for you. Please, don't live your life because someone else wants you to live your life that way. Live your life because that's the way God wants you to live your life. Because only then will we receive the crown of glory. Only then will God put this crown upon our heads for the good works that we have done. And you know what we do with that crown? I know some of you know what we do with that crown. When we get to heaven, this is yours, Lord, and we throw him at his feet. It's his glory. Do we deserve crowns? No. But he loves us so much that he's going to give us crowns. Do you know, I heard this message last night. Do you know God just loves to bless you? It is his good pleasure to bless your life. Why do we think the opposite, though? Why do we think God's up there going, I'm not going to bless you because you're not being good? That's not God's heart. That's not God's way. God's going, I love you so much, I want to bless you. Please let me bless your life. Receive those blessings. Be an example to the flock. Have a strong relationship with God. Be mindful for people around you. Help other believers be better believers. And ultimately, please God. You might be one of those people that says, you know, I'm not where I need to be today. based on this message, you know God wants more for you. You know God has better plans for you, and you're just not fulfilling that plan, that purpose. If you're tired of where you are right now, then be one that says this to the Lord: I'm not where I want to be, God, but I'm going to keep on praying to you. I'm going to keep on giving to you. I'm going to keep on worshiping you. I'm going to keep on serving you all the days of my life, because I know that blesses your heart. I know that blesses your life. Don't stop doing what you know needs to be done. And some of the things I've talked about, maybe you don't spend a lot of time in devotion. Maybe you don't spend a lot of time reading the Word of God. Maybe this is the only Bible study you go to every week. And maybe you don't even get there every week. Listen, this is not to put a yoke around your neck. This is to put a desire in your heart to spend time with the Creator of the universe. To, like Peter, behold His glory and to hear the voice of God speak to you. Hear the voice of God speak to you through His Word, through His Spirit, through your prayers, answering your prayers, through the circumstances that are happening in your life. This is how God works. This is how He moves. God, give us those ears to hear Him. Let's lovingly lead people closer to the Lord. We all know people in our lives that don't have a relationship with God. We all know people in our lives that are not saved. My question is, do we love them enough to draw them in? Do we love them enough to bring them to Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. And Lord, we would pray that You would help us to remember these things. Help us remember these principles. Help us to remember that when we do things biblically, then Your glory is displayed. God, I would pray for everyone in this congregation this morning. For those that are leaders, God, I pray that You would make them better leaders. That You give them more compassionate hearts. That You would multiply their gifts and their talents. And then for those, God, who have thought about being a leader, or maybe people are following them, but they're not being good examples, God, I pray that through this message, You've just shown them that there are things that they can do with Your help to become better, to become humble, to become loving and caring. And then finally, Lord, I pray for those in this room that will be leaders. Maybe today they think, I'm not qualified. Maybe today they think, God will never call me. Maybe today they think they'll never be enough or good enough for You. But Lord, I pray that this message has kind of planted a seed in their heart, that maybe they will go back this afternoon or this week and read 1 Timothy chapter 3 and really meditate and pray upon those qualifications of leaders. And then perhaps by the power of Your Spirit, one by one, they'll work on those characteristics. That the body of Christ would grow, that we would be a vibrant body of believers busy doing our Father's business. We do look forward to Your return, Lord. But until that time, we have much to do. We pray that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit and behold Your glory, the things that You want to accomplish. Now, as we enter into this time of communion, God, I pray that You would remind us of what You've done on the cross, the finished work. There's nothing more that we can do to get any more saved. And as we meditate upon these things, Lord, hear our prayers, answer our prayers, and heal our hearts. We love You, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.